opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
And good morning. This is KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. 1460 on the dial. KCNR1460.com if you'd like to jump into the chat room and give us a call at 605-4567. And no, it's not Thursday. It's Friday. You're wrong. I mean, you're not all mixed up. This is Trish, and it's not Thursday. It's Friday, and Carl and Linda are off doing birthday stuff. Happy birthday to Carl, and they're off celebrating the weekend. So I'm going to be here this morning. I've got some great guests lined up to join me. It's 63 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 94, a low of 64 on Saturday, 95, and on Saturday night, 65. Cool into the weekend, 95 and 97 on the week, Saturday and Sunday, which is absolutely great. We're ready for a little cooling. Can you imagine that it feels really good at 95? The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. It's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. They're locally and veteran-owned and operated. They give senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. And we're joined here in the studio this morning right off the bat with our people from Haven Humane Society and a wonderful pit bull dog, pit bull mix, Cisco. Who's got Adriana, are you going to introduce our dog this morning?
Yes, this is Cisco. He's a five-year-old pit bull mix. He can sit, lay down, roll over, high five, and that's about it.
And you've been through a camp with him just recently.
Yes.
So you're the lady that's got him all trained up and ready to go.
Yes.
And I bet you'd actually just like to take him home, right?
Yes.
Well, and he's available for adoption, and that's wonderful, and we hope that we get him a forever home. Is that what we say, Mark?
Yeah, we're looking to get him a forever home. We've got graduation for camp tomorrow at 9 o'clock at Haven, and public's welcome. We would love to have him there. It takes about an hour, and you can see all the tricks that the kids have taught the dogs, and they get to walk and graduate, and they get a bunch of certificates. It's a lot of fun. So for 2 weeks, these kids devote 2 weeks to these dogs. They walk them. They train them. They get a bunch of community people come in and talk to them, so they become better community members and better pet owners as well. So. It's fantastic. We love camp.
Yeah, it's marvelous. And how many dogs do you have available for?
We have 17 dogs in camp, and 9 are adopted. So we have 8 dogs that are still looking for forever homes.
Okay.
So we want to get all of them adopted, obviously. If you're looking for a dog, now's the time. These guys come with some basic training already, which is great. And they're all really loving dogs.
Okay, so we invite everybody to join down there today. And if you're interested in this dog, how do they go about doing that?
Yes, so you can call Haven at 241-1653, or you can visit us, just come in would be the best, at 7449 Eastside Road, or you can visit our website at havenhumane.org. And also want to put a real quick plug in, starting this coming Wednesday, we will be open on Wednesdays till 7 p.m. from now on. So people that are working can come in if they've lost their dog or they want to come in for an adoption. Our adoption center and receiving center will both be open till 7 o'clock on Wednesdays. So Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, but Wednesday we will be open from 8:30 to 7.
Perfect. All right, Adriana, thanks so much for bringing in Cisco to visit with us this morning. He's a really well-mannered, nice-tempered dog. Real sweetheart.
He's a really happy boy, and he's always smiling. He just smiles from ear to ear. He's just a really good
boy.
Yeah,
no, he has a nice dog. Nice dog. Make a great addition to someone's life out there. So let's make those phones ring and let's adopt this dog this morning. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. And I'm also joined here this morning with Chief of Police from the City of Anderson.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How are you? Mike Johnson.
Very good. Very good. Hey, just a real quick, Trish, that dog is a great dog. You know I'm a dog guy.
Yeah.
And what a great personality, that dog. If anybody's looking for a dog, That's one to take.
Yeah, he's sweetheart.
Yeah, just a great personality.
So, what's going on in the City of Anderson?
Lots, as usual, just like every other city, right? We've always got something going on. If you want to go on the topic of dogs right off the bat, we...
Yes, let's do that right away.
Yeah,
the canine program's been in the highlights.
Yes, it has. So Churn Creek Sellers in Anderson hosted a fundraiser for us, and that event went off really well. We had the band Cadence come and donate their services and play there at the event, and they bottled a vintage of wine in an honor of Arrow, who you know was sick and had to go out of service for quite a while and has had a remarkable comeback thanks to the community and is now back in full service. And that whole fundraiser and that bottle of wine, which is called Undefeated, was...
It's very good wine, by the way.
Yes, it is.
I did just sample just a bit.
Yes, I had to, too, of course, off-duty when I wasn't in uniform.
Right.
But, yeah, so that what a great deal that was. And we have three dogs now, so that was pretty key to our program and a good show of support by the community and really a good event that helped both local business and the Anderson Police Department.
Well, and you know, it was, the whole community got involved, including one of our city councilman's young daughters that came up with the whole thing of the bracelets.
Oh, the bracelets, and yeah, those two girls that made those bracelets and started that. What a great deal that was.
Baron Brownie's daughter and his name is just escaping me. Just
and Abby, yeah.
Yeah, I hate that. I wish I hadn't brought it up. I know, Brianna.
They are still taking orders and selling those bracelets. They just did phenomenal.
I was out last night, actually, at Wind River with Linda Bott. She sings down there on the first Thursday of every month. And if you people are not coming to that event, you just need to. We were packed last night, but it is such a marvelous evening. And Linda brings in a lot of great, great musicians. They just had a real jam session down there last night, and it was absolutely fantastic. But there were three or four of those blue bracelets in the group.
Oh, that's great.
Which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, and you know, those two girls did that all on their own, unsolicited, and just came up with the idea and started it in their front yard, and just a great, great program all over.
It absolutely was. No, I was just, it was a lot of fun, and I laughed last night as I saw the bracelets that... So it really caught on.
Yeah, and you know, we had the dogs wearing those bracelets for a while, too. We put them on their up above their elbow on their arm, and it didn't last too awful long because, you know, one bite and they're gone, and that's what they do. They turn in.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, I was so impressed with the demonstration with the animals at the event that night and the different things. And I thought, and I didn't think a lot of people understood the importance of that release button where you
door pop.
Door pop.
Yeah.
How impressive, and it's actually saved some police officers' lives by being able to get their dog out of the back of the car. And I guess none of us were aware that you guys had that capability to do that.
Yeah, Trish, a lot of people have came up to me and talked to me about that weren't aware that. And in police work, it's, you know, it's standard, and it's been standard for a while. So officers don't think anything about it. They've been around it. Everybody's seen it. But I guess we haven't done a lot of that in the public and shown that. And, yeah, it's a great tool for the officers.
Well, remind me of the incident that brought it to everybody's attention. It was an officer was attacked just recently.
Yeah, well, for our department, we had it was actually Arrow and his handler, Mike Halligan. And this was probably about a year ago now. He was on a stop and a wanted felon he was talking to. And the guy took a swing at him and took off running. And he hit that little button on his belt and popped that door, and out came the dog. And you're not outrunning the dog.
There you go. So it was an impressive demonstration and a good program. And we're going to take a break, and we're going to be back, and then we're going to talk more about just kind of police work and life in City of Anderson in general. We'll be right back after these words.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Mews with Northern Lights Energy. We're doing a lot of heater upgrades, so if you think you want to try a new on-demand kerosene water heater or a Toyo heater, give us a call before winter. We can give you a free estimate. Robin down in Corning is very busy with all the truckers, farmers, with the ag season in full swing. Joe in Weaverville got his new awning up and all the lights are working for all the early birds. The Redding plant is selling a lot of ethanol-free 93 and a whole lot of barbecue bottles. And if you need a forklift tank, we got some of those in now. We have a lot of bulk oil in your container or ours, and we're open on Saturday till 3:30 at the Redding plant. Northern Lights Energy, everything from race car fuel, motor oil, red and clear diesel, and gasoline. In South Redding, we have the Muse Card Lock. Corning, Weaverville, and Redding, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Hey, hun, guess what I found out today?
I'm all ears.
Well, my windshield wiper fluid ran out today, so I stopped by Premier Oil Change for a free top-off.
Yeah?
As one of the technicians was filling the wiper fluid, another came over and told me I was due for an oil change, which is cool, but get this. He said I had more than enough reward points, so my oil change was free.
Free? Did we sign up for something?
Nope. Premier doesn't require that we sign up. We're just regular customers that drive a lot, and Premier does all the fluid maintenance on our cars, so we build up points automatically.
Wow. Who knew? Free fluid top-offs, reward points that accumulate each time we do required maintenance? Dang, suddenly I feel really smart.
Okay, smart guy. With the money I just saved you, can you take me out to dinner?
That's the second best idea you've had today.
Learn more about rewards the next time you stop by or go to our website at PremierOilChange.com in the Palisadro Shopping Center and on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations get you a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, this is Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. It's time for the Boondocker Ball. Join us Saturday, August 27th at Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. You'll enjoy an evening of dinner, dancing, costume contest, live auction, a 1940s World War II USO-style event, dance to live music from the Lou White Band. Ticket prices are $35 single, $50 per couple, or sponsor a table of 10 for $500, which includes a $400 drawing package. For more information, see NorCalVeteransMuseum.org or the museum Facebook page. For ticket purchasing information, call our offices at 378-2280. Also, see Bastiani Arms on Larkspur Lane in Reading, right off Cypress. Tickets also available at the Classic Cafe on Athens Avenue. Once again, for more information, call 378-2280. Thank you for your support. We'll see you there.
And welcome back to KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. Give us a call at 605-4567 if you've got some questions for the Chief of Police of the City of Anderson, Mike Johnson, or jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show is brought to you by Properties by Merit and agent Mary McCarty. Her goal is to help all of her clients with their real estate needs and find their dream home. She is passionate about working for her clients from start to finish. Check out her website at marymccurdy.com to see many of her exclusive listings or call her at 949-1550. And that's Mary McCurdy, MarimCCurdy.com. So, Mike, every city's got their problems.
Every city does.
And I know we read a lot about the issues with the homeless population up here in the city of Reading. And we have ours down there, too. I do notice, however, that we don't have as many invisible as we did for a while.
True, true. Well, you know, we have passed a lot of ordinances to address blight and vagrancy and trespassing and loitering and all those things. So those are some of them that really address some of those problems as well, as like you said, as far as being visible and setting up shop there. One of the advantages Anderson and South County does have, though, is we're not the county seat. So whenever you're the county seat like Reading, you have all the services kind of centralized and localized for them. So that's why we don't have quite the homeless and transient problem that Reading does. And, you know, and like them, we try to address it, but I think that dynamic changes it for us.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. And certainly I think that the community as a whole seems to have gotten together and decided it's my understanding, not only from you, but from the city managers, that the property owners have been very cooperative in allowing, you know, signing the paperwork to allow you to boost them off of the private property and do some cleanup work. And
that's true, Trish, and I think that's an important element to the whole program of addressing the problem. Is the property owners have very much been put on notice, if you will, but we really haven't had to do that. They've been very cooperative about it and part of the solution. So they are responsible for, you know, maintaining their property and keeping it to where the lakes and streams and rivers aren't getting polluted in the near by surrounding areas, that transient camps aren't being set up on their property. They're keeping the brush trim so they're visible, just a lot of different things like that. And the code enforcement and city manager's office has been doing a great job with that portion.
You know, and it's so important that I don't know what it is about people that want to throw their garbage all over the place and leave their stuff, which brings me to another subject. You guys just did another ordinance that I saw the city council adopted that had to do with dumping in commercial dumpsters.
Yes, correct. Yeah, it's still in progress being developed, but yeah, it's been through for the first I think reading, and they pulled it to refine it a little bit. But yeah, that is another ordinance that's going on in over on the coast. When I worked over there, they called it recycling without a permit, and here it's something similar, just titled different, and it's basically doesn't allow people to rummage through the garbage cans, both commercially and privately. To take out items, and because what you said happens. Unfortunately, what happens is they rummage through and they don't pick up anything. They just leave it as it is, take what they want, and then you've got a big mess. Then you've got wind, everything else that comes along, and it's scattered, and it's just causes a big problem.
Well, it is, and I will tell you that along with the Frontier Senior Center there in Anderson, one of the things that we do to raise funds for the Frontier Senior Center is operate the thrift store over on East Center Street. And we have a dumpster in the back of it, and it is a continual headache.
Yep.
For the volunteers who work there. It's locked. It has a bar across the top of it to lock it. They break that open.
Yep.
They pry it open. They go through the garbage, and then they use it as a dumping area. Mm-hmm. I mean, they literally bring all of their garbage in and load it into our dumpster or just stack it around it. So it's a continual harassment for the people, and these are all volunteers that work there.
Yeah, it's kind of a catch-22, because you have the businesses that initially wanted to not lock their dumpsters and allow people to throw trash in there to some degree to kind of help keep the community clean in a way, and they were taking on that. Well, that's gone by the wayside, because every business that's done that has found out that then it just attracts the people to come and rummage through their garbage. And so then they start locking it, and it becomes a problem for employees during business hours. Now they always got to carry keys, unlock the the lids and everything, and that's a little cumbersome. And not to mention, like you said, now they lock it at night, and you've got their dumpsters being vandalized. And people may think that's not a big deal, but when they're prying a lid and breaking into these things, it becomes costly very quick.
They're metal lids. Not only that, it's expensive to have them dumped. We're a nonprofit, like I say, we run totally by volunteers. We end up having to do one or two dumps a week sometimes from all the other people's garbage.
Yep. Yeah,
so, I mean, it's really irritating when the whole setup we've got is people are donating things to be sold at ETC to make money to run a senior center, and we're spending our money cleaning up other people's garbage.
Yeah, you know what?
It really is frustrating.
No good deed goes unpunished, right? It's the same thing when once a year the city of Anderson does the cleanup, April cleanup, and where they allow residents to come bring their old mattresses, beds, whatever, and dump it, and don't charge for that. Well, what has happened with that is some people store their garbage all year and wait for that one day, and, you know, in between time, you've got a mess of a yard and attracting rodents and other critters that you don't want. So it's tough to try to find the happy medium.
It is. Well, I would just invite anybody, if you're driving past the back of that store and you get a license number, I'd sure appreciate having it, because I think our police department will go after them, and we're going to – that is just – it's an ongoing irritation, and a shout-out to those lovely volunteers that work there and put up with that, because it really is a hassle with for those ladies – or over there every morning facing that cleanup for an hour, hour and a half, and they get there.
Right.
And it's a mess. So, anyway, so the other subject I want to get into a little bit is your morning meetings. Okay, you do...
Coffee with the Chief.
Coffee with the Chief.
Right. And so we've gone to a quarterly venue with that. So every 3 months we have that. I was doing that monthly, but it became a little bit... cumbersome for me to try to make sure I get there and get the topics every month. So we do it quarterly now, having a great turnout, great response. That's a chance, 7:30 in the morning, second Tuesday. I put that out and publicize that. And it's wide open meeting where we go to Vittles there in Anderson. We take over that back room, basically, and we sit down very informal. And basically, that's what happens. Some people have breakfast. Some people, like me, just have coffee. And it's an opportunity for anybody in the community, and when I say community, even Shasta County, mm-hmm. to just come and air your ideas, opinions, problems, or praises, whatever you want, and come and talk about them with me. And other members from the department attend as well.
Well, what do the people ask about? What are the
It really varies, Trish. You know, I have people come and tell me about a drug house in their neighborhood. I have people come and ask me safety tips about fraud and scams that are going on. I have other people come in and offer suggestions for my volunteer patrol program. And then even non-police related questions come, and I usually have at least one or two city council members there, and the city manager also attends. So when I get those other questions that are outside the scope of my department, I allow them to answer those, and the people get their answers. It's turned out to be a very productive venue.
Well, I think it's important, because a lot of us certainly. In the state of the politics and the way this whole, there's a lot of trauma and angst in the world right now with our political system and government in general. And I think that one of the things we can do to kind of calm that is get back to our roots at our local levels, where communities solve their own problems and get together as a community to do that without expecting government and the state and federal government to solve everything.
I couldn't agree with you more, and it has been really the key to our success thus far is the partnerships and collaboration that we've had with our local community. Because just like you said, you can't expect the government to solve all of your problems. We're understaffed just like every other business, whether it's government or private out there right now. And in order to take back your communities and to solve issues in your community or neighborhood, it takes everybody. It does take the village, and we're getting a lot of creative ideas and out-of-the-box thinking that comes out of these type of things. And, you know, we try to implement some of that. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But if you don't try and you don't take a chance and figure it out, then nothing changes.
There you go. This portion of the show is brought to you by Home Helpers. An in-home care service is more than an in-home health care agency. We're your extended family when family can't be there. We're a locally owned, trusted provider of quality, compassionate in-home care, and we customize our home care solutions to your unique situation for an affordable solution that keeps your loved one where they're happiest, at home. That's Home Helpers, located at 2620 Larkspur Lane, Suite N. Give them a call at 226-8350. And that's Sharon Clark, my co-host on the first Thursday of the month, and her business. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Here's some important information from REU, Reading's Electric Utility. REU recognizes how utility costs affect our customers. We would like to take this opportunity to remind our customers that we offer special programs like our Lifeline and Lifeline Plus programs for income-qualified customers. REU also offers other customer assistance programs. For more information, visit us at reupower.com or call us at 339-7200. REU and you, powerful together.
Hi, I'm John Scape, owner of Properties by Merit. We specialize both in residential and commercial real estate. Whether you're looking to buy or sell, call us today at 338-2112. At Properties by Merit, we help your real estate dreams become reality. Visit our website at pbmerit.com or call today, 338-2112.
Properties by Merit is California Corporation licensed by the California Bureau of Real Estate. California BRE license number 019-45816.
Okay, welcome back. This is KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North Strait. If you're just tuning in, no, it's not Thursday. It is Friday, and this is Trish Clark. I'm sitting in for Carl and Linda today. They're out for Carl's birthday, so we're letting them have a great day. And I'm joined here this morning by my co-host, Mike Johnson, for this first hour, Chief Police of the City of Anderson. This portion of the show is brought to us by Northern Firearms. Northern Firearms Instruction, Ted Leidy and his team of professional NRA instructors provide the most complete CCW training in Northern California. For a limited time, NFL will provide a free firearm rental and ammunition for Shasta County residents who take a basic CCW course. Register online at readingccw.com or call NFI at 991-1822. Again, that's Ted Leidy and his team of professional NRA instructors. If you can get your CCW, which I'm a big supporter of, and I think our police chief here supports the use of that, although they don't issue the permits in the city of Anderson anymore.
No, that's done through the county sheriff.
Yes.
And he does them for the whole county. And what a great feeling it is to be a county that actually supports CCWs, because not all in California do.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, actually up until just, oh, probably 3 or 4 years ago, City of Anderson issued permits. But they got down to about 3 or 4 of us that still had Anderson permits and finally said, okay, you guys are going to have to go to the sheriff's department now. We're going to fold this up and do it.
But, right, and the sheriff has the ability to delegate that to the cities that have police departments and allow them to issue their own or take care of them for the county.
Right.
And personally, I'm glad that he does take care of them for the county, because he could exercise a little bit more of oversight and control that way, and he's doing them anyway. So, and he is a big supporter of the Second Amendment and concealed weapons carry as well.
Yeah, because I never can miss an opportunity to remind people that that's one of the major things that's at stake in this election, And we want to be, gosh, you know, if you can't think of any other reason in the world to vote for Donald Trump, think about the Supreme Court appointments. Because that is the biggest thing that's as far outreaching anything else that is at stake in this upcoming election. And you can bet your money that if you let Hillary Clinton in there and the appointments she's going to make, you're not going to have the right to carry a gun for any length of time. I'm just saying. So go back to Steph and Anthony. You were talking about the academy. You've got some police officers getting ready to be hired in the city of Anderson.
Yeah. If we could just get that word out there, since you've got me here and I've got the opportunity, I'd love to do that. So we are hiring again, and we now sponsor people through the academy. So do it the way that it works in Anderson is I hold a testing, and it's a oral board testing, a physical agility test, and we identify candidates, and then we put them through a background. And we make sure they can pass everything. And then what happens is they sign a contract with me, and I sponsor them through the academy. So pay for the academy, pay for all their uniforms, their ammunition, their gear, their books, and everything for the whole term that they go through the academy. Upon successful graduation of the academy, they become a full-time police officer, City of Anderson employee. And they're contracted with me for 3 years under that program, and then they want to move on after that. They're free to move on, but they're our employee, and we buy and pay for them. So it's been so successful so far, Trish. I have two young men who came out of the Alast Academy and are on the field training program doing very well. I've got three guys in the current academy that are set to graduate December 9th, I believe it is. And then I'm opening up testing now and accepting applications, and I'll test again in September, looking to put one or two more in the January 2017 Academy. So if you're interested, all you need to do is fill out a application, submit it to the City of Anderson, and we will get in contact with you and test in early September.
Very good. So how would they go about getting that application, Mike?
Two ways. It can go online, of course, and that's the best way. And I would suggest if you're going to do it online that you don't try to fill it out online and submit it online, because that seems to still have some quirks in the process. But if you go online, download the application and print it out, and then fill out the application, and you can either mail it or take it to City Hall, 1887 Howard Street. Drop it off there on the third floor with personnel. I will be sure to get it and have good connection that way and pick up the application there.
Very good. So this is a great opportunity. You know, I know that it's hard to get a job in a good police department like that. This is an opportunity to actually have them pay for the training. So if you have people out there, or you have, you know, grandsons or children that are looking for that kind of a career and inclined to do that, it's a great opportunity to be checking into.
Yeah, and Trish, I should tell you that two of these five that I told you that I've hired so far have been guys that are in their late 20s, early 30s that have families, have already had a job or another career, have always been interested in law enforcement, have, you know, got in the mix and the grind of that regular paycheck and supporting their family, and hadn't had the chance to walk away from that otherwise, and this was their opportunity to get it paid for, start their career in law enforcement, and know that they have a job immediately out of the academy. So that's worked out great.
Well, yeah, absolutely, and what an opportunity. I can remember, you know, a few years back where you had to put yourself through these academies, and you had for fire or police, and to do the training all up front, do all of it, and then go out and try to find a job.
Yeah, and one more. Another one of these five guys is, and parents, listen up to this one, was a kind of a unique situation where this young man was in the Marine Corps and still in the Marine Corps when he tested. We did it via Skype, and I sent all the physical requirements and the written requirements down to his drill sergeant, and he tested him while he was in the Corps. He graduated the Corps. He got out, was out for 2 weeks, and I put him right into the academy. So he was hired that way, too. So if you have a son or daughter that's in any of the branches of the service and they're looking to get into law enforcement and they're just about to get out of their service, they're still eligible to test. We will test them while they're still in the Corps.
You know, that's absolutely great, because I think one of the things that I remember talking even a few years back when talking with the sheriff when we were doing recruiting, that that's a tough thing right now. You get a lot of applicants, and getting one that doesn't have some drug issues or doesn't have some stuff in their life.
Right.
I remember where we'd get hundreds of applications and end up with two or three people that we can even start through the background check.
It's true. It's true. And we've become a little bit more lenient with that. When I say we, law enforcement, as far as understanding people's past, but still we're not taking people that have really horrific backgrounds. So it is. We get stacks of applications sent still to date where people that have no business being in law enforcement are applying and rolling the dice. But trying to find good qualified people of great character and integrity to be in the business is tough. And especially today with what's going on in the world and, the opinion by some of law enforcement, it's tough to draw young guys men and women into this field because they say, why would I want to be a police officer?
Well, and you're absolutely right. I applaud the families and the people who even consider this. We absolutely need our police officers, and we're unfortunately headed sometimes in a direction where we have people who are not they're not respecting those positions of authority and recognizing that, okay, there might be a bad cop someplace, but the way vast majority of the people out there protecting us are of utmost character and doing a really good job. And we have to get back to where the people are respecting that, and that we're punishing the people that are not respecting those things.
It's true. And you know what, Trish? I wherever I go, I'm always recruiting. I've one of my biggest success stories for an officer that I recruited. I recruited out of a butcher shop. He was cutting meat, and I happened to be off duty in there, doing some shopping, and I got to talking to this young man, and I thought, wow, this is a solid guy. So I went back and followed up with him, and he ended up going to work for me. That's not here in Anderson. It's a different city, but and becoming probably one of the best cops I had. And it's just when I identify that anywhere and see that character trait, I will be soliciting them to come down and talk to me more. And even if they don't go to work for me, if they go to work for Redding or the sheriff or somewhere in law enforcement, if I can recruit those type of people into law enforcement, I'll do it every time.
Do you spend any time, and I know at one time some of the police chiefs have done this, gone into the high schools to try to talk to some of the kids. One of the things I think when they get into sophomore, junior, senior, if we can kind of start instilling some of the things that you need to watch out for. Remember, as you're growing up, that you can do things as a kid that are going to impact you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and I do. I've learned over the years about targeting different age groups. For instance, you talk about the high schoolers. They don't want to hear from the police chief, really. I'm just a talking head preaching to them, and they get enough preaching to them. What works effectively for that age group is my school resource officers and, like, my canine officers and people going and visiting the school and making a connection with those kids. The ones that works better for is maybe the junior hires that I go and talk to and can connect with personally and give a little bit of maybe advice on thinking twice about the decisions you make and how they long-term affect you. But we do quite a bit of that stuff now.
I think, they recognize that we live in an environment where, with the homeless population we were talking about before, a lot of broken families, a lot of situations that are not conducive to kids growing up and caring about some of those responsibility issues. So every time the community can interact with them, or you can be a positive role model in one of those kids' lives to kind of keep them on the straight and narrow, make them understand that there's a different way of life than welfare, and help get them out of that, I encourage that. I think that we have to do that as individuals in the community.
I think that's a responsibility of every good citizen out there. And I tell the officers, support staff, the volunteers, everybody at our department, look, take the time. When you usually only have one shot at these people that cross your paths, and you need to take a little bit of time, talk to them, just make a connection with them, period, and it can make a difference.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And so this portion of the show is brought to us by Wellgate Sports Club, located at 1740 Eureka Way, and it's a full-service sports club. Right now, they have a new program, Aqua Personal Training Program with Kathleen Cowling. The unique saltwater pool facility is available only at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling is a certified professional water coach. One-on-one small group training, 3 to 5 people is available. It does all kinds of great things without the inflammation that can be caused by other exercise programs. Come experience exceptional everyday service at Wellgate Sports Club, where we believe self-care is the best health care. Give them a call at 768-1205, and we'll be back right after these messages.
What is your true dream vacation? Let us help you define it. At Wind River Resort and Casino, play our Pick Your Paradise Swipe to Win promotion. Win free slot play, cash prizes, or a dream vacation and $1,000 cash. It's simple. Spin the reels on any slot machine or swipe your free River Club card daily. Every 200 points gets you an entry. Double entries on Mondays and Tuesdays. Drawings Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Swipe for your chance to win a variety of prizes or a dream vacation. Plus, we have new games just waiting to hit the jackpot. Unlimited entries all month long to increase your chances. Picture yourself in your paradise. Whether you like sandy beaches or city skylines, rest assured that we have the vacation destination that you desire. This is your opportunity to pick your paradise that you've always dreamed of.
Final drawing Wednesday, August 31st,
where you could win a dream vacation and $1,000 cash. Remember, more games, more ways to win, more fun at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Some restrictions may apply.
For official rules and details, log on to windriver.com. Vacations are better at the river.
Wow, I love your new place. It's so stylish.
Okay, I'll let you in on a little secret. I get all my furniture at the Home Consignment Depot.
Really? This dining set? The entertainment center? The sofa?
Yeah, and all the accessories and art, too.
The Home Consignment Depot? Where are they located?
They're at 1313 Hartnell Avenue, between Churn Creek and Victor. You know, next to Signorama. They've got quality furniture for the home and office at prices you can afford. It's definitely the spot to shop for furniture, with new arrivals daily. And they offer an excellent consignment service.
Consignment? How does it work?
It's easy. They sell your quality furniture and send you a check. I received more for mine than if I sold it myself, without the hassles and costs of running an ad.
They sell your quality furniture and accessories and send you the check?
Right. They also offer a pickup and delivery service. They accept all forms of payment, and they're open 7 days a week.
That's good to know.
If I were you, I'd visit their showroom today or call 722-0635, the Home Consignment Depot. It's definitely the spot to shop.
Have you ever had your vehicle in a shop for a collision repair? When you called to check on it, did no one seem to know anything about it? Don Seck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Did you feel like a number when you were given canned rhetoric or generalization not specific to your vehicle? Although we are recognized as an authority in frame and suspension repair, we are primarily an auto body and truck collision repair center. When you select Coachmaster, we will tell you exactly how we are going to repair your vehicle. You will know the person in charge and get direct answers to your questions and follow-up phone calls, because every vehicle is personal to us. With our knowledge of the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to get started quickly. A reputation for excellent service and high-quality repairs takes years to build, and we intend to keep it. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
And welcome back to KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. Jump into our chat room at KCNR1460.com or give us a call at 605-4567. This is Trish Clark this morning, and we're just talking with the police chief from the city of Anderson. This portion of the show is brought to us by Four Winds Jewelers, 2225 Hilltop Drive in Reading. Their number is 222-2750. Best watch, only watch repairman in the city of Reading. If you take your watch someplace else, it's going to end up there anyway. So you need to take it right in there. Those people are just marvelous, have wonderful stones, great estate jewelry, great customer service, and will take care of all of your jewelry needs. A girl can't have too many diamonds or too many guns. So you need to go see them over at Four Winds Jewelers.
Well, I know my wife's listening, so
We're focusing more on the guns portion than we are the jewelry portion, all right, Trish?
You can't have either or. And you got to go see. I mean, he's got beautiful. They've got beautiful, beautiful estate jewelry over there. I'm well acquainted with the people at Four Winds Jewelers. Okay, last thing for the week, we're going to talk about personal things.
Well, I was telling Trish, I am very proud that I have a 19-year-old boy who will be graduating from the Marine Corps boot camp next week, August 12th. What a great accomplishment.
Absolutely. And that, I was telling Mike that a while back, but the manager at the Frontier Senior Center, Janie McLaughlin, her son, Cody, graduated from the Marine Corps, and I was privileged to go down with her for that ceremony, and wow.
Yeah, I can't wait. We, as I told you, Trish, we have rented a house. We have 15, 20 family members going down. We're very excited that he has stuck it out, made the commitment, going to be serving his country, all those things. Just couldn't be prouder.
Well, and it is such a wonderful weekend. You're going to so enjoy it and be so surprised by the change in that young man or that kid that you sent down there, yeah. And this young man that you're going to greet when he comes out the other side. It is very impressive, and my hat's off to all of them and for their service, and it's a great, great deal.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is when they first go, you know, you have no communication with them for a while, and you probably know a lot of this, and maybe everybody else out there doesn't. They're not allowed to email or have their phone or anything like that. The letters you do get from them come snail mail, and they're handwritten letters, and everybody teased me, well, did the sergeant write a letter for him and tell him how much he was enjoying it? And that was kind of the theme as we got the first letters. He lost 30 pounds in the first, I don't know, four weeks that he was there. So yeah, but thank you for letting me share that with everybody. I like I said, me and my wife couldn't be prouder, and I have another son who is in that area, San Diego area, lives down there. So we're gonna get to see him. He's gonna come to the graduation. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, great family time and congratulations, Mike.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great. So let's finally, before we've got just a little bit of time left in this segment. I want to talk about the sales tax.
Okay.
The city of Anderson was successfully passed the half-cent sales tax 2 years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago now.
Okay, so how has that worked out? And the expectation, again, remember it was passed with a 50% vote, 50% plus one, so that it didn't have to be targeted, but there was also an advisory measure that went with it.
Correct.
That suggested that the people wanted it to go for public protection.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that has made absolute difference for the community and the police department there. You know, outside of the police department, there's been some funds allocated for the park and some other things as well, and some other staffing, but the police have definitely been the main beneficiaries of that sales tax, as the public has directed. And what I can tell you about that, Trish, is I think it's absolutely imperative that you have a council and a administration who is true to that advisory portion of the tax, and ours has been, and I commend them for that, because they have done just what the public has asked and expected of them with that money. They've allocated it to me to start different programs, to add officers, to gain equipment, to do everything in the community's benefit through law enforcement, and it's just been had a tremendous impact for us. We've added a dog, we've added three officers, we've beefed up the volunteer patrol program, we've added a cadet program, we've had a reserve officer program. There's just been a number of things that sales tax has enabled us to do.
You know, and one of the things that is an unfortunate part from my point of view, because I think there was an expectation, because it was sold as public safety.
Correct.
Unfortunately, the community in their mind, and I've heard this so many times, because we start talking, as you know, we have a fire department, which we're going to talk about next hour. And there is a mindset in people's minds that public safety includes police and fire. And
correct.
That there is a thought process in people's minds that somehow the fire department got part of that money.
Okay, yeah.
And that's a bum. You know, it's going to have to take some good explanation in the next little while by everybody in the city of Anderson to explain that that's not true and why it's not true and how we need to solve it anyway.
And I'm sure you've probably covered it. And the reason it's absolutely is fire, public safety, absolutely. Hands down, they are. But the difference in Anderson is we have a fire district. And
that's
they're
exactly
not,
right.
They're not the city of Anderson
yeah.
fire department. So, therefore, their monies don't come out of our general fund. And the city, they're not city employees. And people don't understand that.
No.
And I fielded those questions as well, Trish. And you know, do they need more money? Is their budget suffering? Of course it is, too. And you'll hear from the fire chief after. I think he's a guest
yeah.
next. But that takes a different revenue stream and a different
yeah.
way of creatively funding it because it can't come out of the city.
Well, and the important part to recognize is that we have to work as a city to make all this come together. And the great part of that is that we do have a great cooperative effort between the fire chief and the city manager and the police chief and everybody involved. So we're going to work as a community to solve that whole picture.
You bet.
Because obviously the citizens of the city of Anderson and the city itself need the fire department.
Oh, and we work close and cooperatively
absolutely.
With Chief Weigel's come in, and it's great. The relationship's great. We do a lot of cross training. We use their facility. They use ours. We help with investigations. They help us with investigations. It works the same as like they were a city fire department. The only difference is they're not.
Then.
So, you know, like the city of Reading, their fire department is a city fire department. So they do have that same coffer of funds, if you will.
Yeah, well, and the only reason I kind of focused on that while you were still here, we talked about the sales tax. I didn't want you to leave and then have the chiefs come in and then start them go, boy, she sandbagged him. She's talking about
no, that's okay.
I wanted to clarify that we're all aware of that and that the public perception and what it is.
Right.
And
right.
we need to put on a hard press here now to straighten out that perception and figure out a way to keep the fire department that covers the city of Anderson
yes.
in the same good stead that the rest of the city is, so because it all works together.
I agree. I totally
Absolutely.
Agree.
So, final thoughts. We got just a few minutes left.
You know, if I have a final parting comment, it's really a thank you, Trish. The community, again, when I say community, I mean Shasta County, is just incredible. People don't realize how great it is to be in the North State. There is, I've been at a couple other places. It's not the same everywhere, folks. You all as a community has shown your support to public safety, police and fire, particularly speaking for the police department, law enforcement agencies, and we appreciate it very much. It is a great thing to have the support of the community. So I just like to tell everybody out there that we appreciate it. We appreciate the community equally. It's a two-way street. So thank you for all the support you've shown to us.
Well, and that's good, Mike. And you've been with the Anderson Police Department now for 3 years?
4 years now.
4 years.
Yeah.
I can't call you the new police chief anymore.
Well, I don't know. I still like the new police chief thing. I like that honeymoon part anyways.
Well, there you go. Okay. So, gosh, 4 years. Oh,
yes.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and it's good because I think it's we appreciate as a community, because I've lived in Anderson since 1977. And when we moved up here, my husband was going to work for the airport, out at the airport. And I fell in love with the Anderson River Park and the whole atmosphere down in the city of Anderson. And I'm so pleased that I made that decision all those many years ago. Because it truly is a very unique community that kind of... I mean, I have just so much support within the community, and I like that a lot. So, yeah.
Well, when you see events like Mosquito Serenade, you know, which has been very successful
yes.
again this year. Great music, you know, free concert. People come out, great turnouts. It's an incredible piece of property, that whole river park.
It absolutely
the
is.
Whole venue, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and I want to remind you, and I expect to see you there this Sunday at the Frontier Senior Center.
Okay.
We have the community breakfast coming up first Sunday of the month, and it would people love to see you turn out at those things.
Okay,
and remind
I'll
the
see
rest
if I
of the community, 8 to noon. So,
well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. Trish.
All right.
It's
thanks
a pleasure.
So much for coming in, and I appreciate it. And congratulations to your son. Give him a big hug for all of us.
I will. Thank you. Yeah, I'll
yeah,
let him know.
Great.
He'll be happy to hear I plugged it on the radio.
Good
luck with that fire chief that's coming on. He can be trouble sometimes.
Okay. We'll be good. Okay. So This portion of the show has been brought to you by Crackmaster, knows the ins and outs of the proper windshield repair. He's been repairing windshields for years, and the Bureau of Automotive Repair approved. Jeff at Crackmaster is truly the old school tech. Each and every repair is a sign of his quality workmanship. Get your windshield repaired by a master windshield repair specialist. You will not be disappointed. Crackmaster at 3208 South Market. Call 241-8373 for an appointment today. We'll be right back for another hour.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. The latest jobs report features a sign of confidence among employers. Economist Diane Swank says more Americans were also looking for jobs in July.
Not only did we see strong job gains driven by professional hires, which includes those newly minted college grads, we saw people rejoin the labor force.
And overall, employers added 255,000 jobs last month, even amid sluggish growth. The Labor Department says the unemployment rate held steady at 4.9%. Donald Trump is making a rare admission that he was wrong in claiming he saw a video of a U.S. cash payment going to Iran. White House correspondent Greg Cluxton has more.
On Twitter, Trump wrote that the plane I saw on television was the hostage plane in Geneva, Switzerland, not the plane carrying $400 million in cash going to Iran. Trump has been expressing outrage about the payment, which was delivered on the same day that Iran released four Americans. Republicans call it ransom, but the Obama administration says it was money the U.S. legally owed Iran. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The Olympic flame has reached Rio's most famous landmark, the huge Christ the Redeemer statue. It's one of many stops for the flame as it travels around Rio de Janeiro at the end of a long relay that began in Greece. U.S. swimmer Michael Phelps says he's excited about carrying the American flag tonight in the opening ceremony.
As a kid, it's like, yeah, it'd be really sweet to be able to carry the flag. I mean, I never thought I'd make, you know, I dreamt of making the Olympic team, and that happened in 2000, and it just kept getting better and better.
U.S. women's tennis player Venus Williams, a three-time gold medalist herself, says she loves the opening ceremony.
Opening ceremonies is an amazing time for us and the world. It's a surreal experience.
The International Olympic Committee has approved the entry of 271 Russian athletes for the Rio Games. That means 70% of the country's team will be competing. More on these stories from townhall.com.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and bad tweets can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. Reputation.com can protect your good name. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. Call 800-651-4888. 800-651-4888.
It's being called a renaissance of sorts in Pennsylvania's Christmas City, as correspondent Rich Thomason explains.
The National Museum of Industrial History is opened in a former steel plant in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. The Smithsonian-affiliated museum is housed in a century-old building in the former Bethlehem steel plant. The museum's been in the works since the 1990s. A thriving arts complex and a casino are also part of what used to be one of the country's largest abandoned industrial sites.
Bethlehem Steel ended steel production in its hometown in the mid-1990s. A blockbuster cancer treatment failed in a key study as a drug maker, Bristol Myers Squibb, attempts to extend its usage for lung cancer patients. Shares of the Princeton, New Jersey company plunged 17% when trading opened this morning. Shares of rival Merck & Company, which makes a rival cancer drug, spiked by 8% to reach a one-year high in early trading. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Apple says it's going to start offering cash rewards of up to $200,000 to hackers who come forward with information about security flaws in the company's software. We get more from correspondent Linda Kenyon.
Apple is joining other big tech companies that offer these so-called bug bounties. The goal is to encourage people to come forward when they discover vulnerabilities in the computer code so the company can fix them. The other goal is to discourage hackers from exploiting flaws in the code or selling that information to others.
That is correspondent Linda Kenyon. Google, Facebook, and other companies have long offered so-called bug bounty rewards. The U.S. trade deficit has grown to its highest point in 10 months. It was driven up by a big rise in imports of oil and Chinese-made computers, cell phones, and clothing. The Commerce Department says the deficit rose to $44.5 billion in June, 8.7% higher than a revised May deficit of $41 billion. More on these stories from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And good morning. This is KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. Jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com or give us a call at 605-4567. And if you're just joining us, you're not mixed up. It's not Thursday. It really is Friday. I know you're going, what? That's Trish. She's on Thursday. She doesn't do Fridays. I'm here this morning. Carl's on vacation for his birthday. So Carl and Linda are off celebrating Carl's birthday, and I've got the show this morning. I've got the Chief Anderson Fire Chief, Rick Weigel, that's going to join me here in just a moment. It's 64 degrees in downtown Reading, high of 94 today. We're looking for a low of 64 with a little bit of wind this evening. High of 95 tomorrow and low of 65. We're looking at 95 and 94, 97 all through the weekend. Just balmy, almost sweater weather, for heaven's sakes. It's just cooled down and we can actually breathe. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. It's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. They're locally and veteran-owned and operated. They give senior and veterans discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. Let's go to Susan Eastman.
Good morning,
Susan.
And I want to wish Carl a very happy birthday. Make it a great day, Carl. And so moving on to the market, the averages are in the green this morning after a better-than-expected jobs report. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 152 points at 18,504. The S&P 500 advancing 14 points at 2,178. The NASDAQ up 56 points at 5,222. Active stocks on the NASDAQ, Sirius Satellite up 2 pennies at 425. Semantic Corp. up $1.19, trading at $22.22. FireEye down $2, trading at $14.75. Turning to local stocks of interest, PG&E down 41 cents at $64.10. PepsiCo up 61 cents, trading at $109.01. FedEx up 283 at $162.65. In the bond department, the 10-year Treasury note is price yield 1.55%. And for commodities, gold is down $23 an ounce at $1,339. Silver down 58 cents at $19.88. And crude oil down 70 cents at $41 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
Thank you so much, Susan. And give them a call. This is a Wells Fargo Market Minute that's brought to us every Friday morning. And give Susan a call over there for all of your marketing needs. Good morning, Chief Weigel.
Good morning, Trish.
So, what's happening with Anderson Fire in the city of Anderson?
Wow. quite a bit.
Quite a bit. Been busy. It's been
extremely busy, yes. We have two engine companies right now. Out of the city, one down in Monterey, working on those fires. And then we had one that was on their way home, and they were reassigned to the fire down near Fresno for immediate needs. Schools were threatened and some other things. So right now we've got two crews that are actually out with strike teams and other departments here around the state.
So, we've got a lot of fires going on in the state of California. Can you give us kind of a bit of an update on that?
Well, I know that I don't have a lot of information on what's going on right now. California.
Several major fires and, yeah.
Yeah, and it just, no matter what community it's in, it's threatening homes and threatening people's livelihoods and their lives. And that's part of the beauty of the mutual aid program in California is, you've got fire trucks from all over the state. So it doesn't matter. They're out of their comfort zones. They're out of their cities. They're out of their communities, and they're working to save other people's communities.
You know, the sad part about it in the state of California, we are just starting our fire danger period. August and September historically have been the months that we get hit the hardest. And we had a fairly easy fire season last year, comparatively. And I don't know. I'm looking for, we got a lot of rain in a lot of places, which just made the grass grow. And we got some treacherous times coming for the next couple months. We need to be very careful.
Yeah, and I think people need to remember we're still in drought conditions, for how many years, a couple decades now.
Yeah.
So, it's just, people just need to be really careful. It almost surprises me to no end that we still have people burning garbage and things like that during these conditions. I can't comprehend that.
I followed a car. This happens every year. It makes me crazy. Talk about road rage. I'm behind a car and they flip out a cigarette.
Oh.
I want to just get up behind them and run over them. It makes me so angry when I see that. What are they thinking? Well, they're not, obviously. But.
They're not. It's amazing. It's amazing how many small fires that we run on a daily basis here, just in Shasta County, just mm-hmm. in this part of the community. And without the effort of all the neighbors, Redding Fire, Cal Fire, and all the
small little departments,
departments, we all depend on each other, and it just it's an amazing process. Even last night we had a small little fire that over in the county area just outside of the fire district, and we had I think three or four communities coming together on that: Cal Fire, us, Anderson, Cottonwood. Just it draws down these resources and puts these vehicles on the road, code 3, puts everybody in a little bit of danger. And, it was somebody burning a small trash pile, and so it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so we would ask that if you see someone out there doing it or you got a neighbor that's, please be responsible and tell them not to do that. The other thing you need to watch this time of year is weed eating and mowing and all those kinds of things.
Well, I would even go a step further. If they see somebody burning trash, things in their field or whatever during this process, during this season, they need to call 911 right away.
Yeah.
Because, by the time you go over and talk to your neighbor and get into an argument, it may escape and it may get it bigger, and early notification is key here right now.
Yeah.
So yeah. If you do see smoke or you smell something, you suspect a fire, call 911. Don't call the local fire station. Don't call Anderson Fire Department. Talk to the guys there. Don't try to call the Redding Fire Stations. Call 911.
Yeah, and get it going. I think a lot of people are confused about the services that they get from government, and a lot of people do not realize that there are different agencies involved in providing services within a community. One of those distinct things is, and I talked a bit with this about with the police chief in the first hour in the city of Anderson.
Was that short guy that was there?
Yeah, he told me to watch out for you, Rick. But Mike and I talked about that a little bit. In the city of Anderson, we have a unique situation where we have a city government that provides police protection and all of the other city services. Then we have a fire protection district, Anderson Fire Protection District, which is a special district and, in fact, serves a larger area than just the incorporated city of Anderson.
That's correct.
Let's first talk about what other areas we serve in the fire department.
Well, we're about 7.5 square miles, and he's raising his finger up. Does that mean?
He's telling me I have 1 minute to go to break.
Okay. So am I to talk fast? Or
well, we'll just talk a little bit, and then we'll go to the other side.
We have about 7.5 square miles, and we do have the fire protection for the city of Anderson and also for a small surrounding area, both around the actual city limits, which are out in the county. And then outside of that boundary would be actual county, which would be the responsibility of Shasta County Cal Fire. So it is a little bit of a strange situation. People think that because we're Anderson Fire, we're Anderson Fire. We're part of the city. We're actually not part of the city. We're a special district. And we get no funding whatsoever from the city of Anderson. Our money comes through the fire district process.
Yeah, which is a share of the property tax, which is from the original split up in the state where property tax was allocated, and then a very small $20 fee that the citizens pay, which goes for equipment and infrastructure.
That's correct. And that $20 fee, that parcel.
We're going to go into that when we come right back.
Okay.
This portion of the show is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Weather is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane on a regular basis. They're locally owned and operated. They give senior and veteran services. It's 64 degrees in downtown Reading. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Is there anything more relaxing on a warm summer day than your patio? Budget Blinds is locally owned and operated and knows how to make your outdoor space in our area as comfortable as possible. Jerry and the whole Budget Blinds staff offers proper installation of patio shades and exterior window coverings, including solar shades, which can help you save on costly energy bills. Budget Blinds Reading Red Bluff also offers a variety of breathable fabrics and exterior window coverings, including window screens. Don't wait any longer. Give your patio or porch an upgrade with stylish, sturdy patio window coverings. Enjoy shades that gently filter passing breezes while perfectly complementing your outdoor theme. You'll relax on your patio or porch knowing you've got the perfect fit and highest quality service.
My goal for our customer here at Budget Blinds is when we walk out of the house, it's nicer than it was when we walked in. The customer got exactly what they wanted. If you're in need of custom window covering, give Budget Blinds a call today, 226-9027, or visit us on the web, budgetblinds.com.
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hi, I'm John Scape, owner of Properties by Merit. We specialize both in residential and commercial real estate. Whether you're looking to buy or sell, call us today at 338-2112. At Properties by Merit, we help your real estate dreams become reality. Visit our website at pbmerit.com or call today, 338-2112.
Properties by Merit is California Corporation licensed by the California Bureau of Real Estate. California BRE license number 01945816.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Okay, welcome back to KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. Jump into the chat room at kcnr1460.com or give us a call at 605-4567. This portion of the show is brought to us by Budget Blinds. They have solar window coverings, the highest quality and most fashionable window coverings. They can customize any window coverings within your budget. Jerry's goal for their customers here at Budget Blinds is that when they walk out of the house, it's nicer than when he walked in. And the customers got actually what they wanted and are excited about the product, and they tell their friends. Give them a call, 226-9027, or visit them on the web at www.budgetblinds.com. Draperies, shades, all kinds of things for your window coverings. So we're talking about fire protection in the city of Anderson, and we just started talking about the funding that the citizens of the fire district pay for their fire department. And what they pay is $20 per parcel per year.
Yeah, the $20, when you think about it, if you have a little 800-square-foot home in the older areas of Anderson, you're paying $20 for that parcel fee. If Walmart pays the same amount. And that, you know, that in my eyes, and that just doesn't add up, because Walmart generates many more incidents over there that they're getting a lot of our attention on a daily basis, where we might not go to your house, but maybe once a year or every other year or not at all.
Yeah.
So we're in the process now of trying to look at all avenues of revenue. Nobody wants to pay taxes. I mean,
nobody wants to pay more money, and but before we move on about more, I really want to look at the $20, even if it's the same over the thing. $20 for full year for fire protection.
Yeah, we're.
It doesn't make any sense, and so at the very bottom, everybody's got to take a look at. If we're going to continue to have the fire protection service in the city of Anderson that we have, we're going to have to talk about a way to fund it.
Well, the one thing that I think that everybody needs to understand is that the customers are the ones that drive the service. So the community actually decides what level of fire service they want. If they want an all-volunteer department, then that's what they want. If they want paramedic level service with ambulance transport and two fire stations, so we meet the minimum standard of responses that metropolitan cities do around the United States, then they're going to have to pay for that. And the community would get together and say, okay, we're willing to pay for this. So really, the community sets a standard on what kind of service the community wants. So me, as the fire chief, being there for a little over a year and a half, I can come in and say, well, I want paramedics on every fire truck, and I want paramedic ambulance to come to your house and treat you. And the community may say, well, we're not going to pay for that.
Yeah.
Then we're not going to get that. So, again, everybody needs to understand it's customer-driven. So whatever the customer wants to have and pay for, that's the service level that we'll be able to deliver. And we're actually going to have to go before the community, both in the fire district and in the city of Anderson, and say, look, here's a level of service that we're attempting to give right now.
Well, and this is kind of an introduction to a series of discussions and hearing or discussions that we're going to be having with the community. For those of you who are not aware, I am a member of the Anderson Fire Protection District Board of Directors, and so have been getting acquainted with where we're at. You have to recognize that the department has been operating on this shoestring for some time, the last 2 years, and prior to the time that we were fortunate enough to gain the services of Rick Weigel, the fire chief there now. We went $400,000 in the hole for a couple years in a row, and we can't continue to do that forever. There's only so many reserves. And I think the important part to recognize is that there isn't a squabble between the fire protection district and the city, but there is a perception in the citizens of the city of Anderson that they passed that half-cent sales tax, and somehow that was for public protection, both fire and police. You heard me talk to the chief of police earlier about that, and that just isn't the case. It was never sold that way. We're not criticizing the city in any way, shape, or form for the perception that the people have, because there just isn't an understanding that they're two separate entities. So we certainly, there's a responsibility for the city and the district to get together and solve this issue. We're hoping that everybody will have an open mind about it, recognizing that one of the first questions is the new fire engine. So,
well,
you know, we come in, we're in the hole, and we buy a new fire engine.
I'd like to address that because I have had some questions on that. And at the end of the day, when we have to go before the voters and say, if you want your fire department to continue, we need to fund it. We bought a new ladder truck. There was no ladder truck in the South County. The only ladder truck in the county is
City of Redding.
The City of Redding. And so the next choice would be the City of Red Bluff, which would be anywhere from 30 to 40 minutes out by the time you go through a mutual aid request and you ask for assistance and they actually put somebody on that truck and respond up. It's at least a 30-minute response time, maybe 40 minutes. So when you have the need for a ladder truck, it's something that needs to be done, needs to have in the South County. So anyway, let me just explain this. We looked at it, and basically when I went through the budget and realized that we had $50,000 from the Wind River Tribe as a donation or a grant to buy a ladder truck, that had money had been sitting in that account for 6 to 7 years minimum.
Was in a position where it was going to have to be returned was either going to be sent or returned.
That was my counsel to the board was, look, we've uncovered this money, this $50,000 grant money from the tribe was given in good faith that Anderson Fire District would buy a ladder truck. Now, this is years before I got here. Again, I've only been here for a little over 18 months. So my counsel to the fire board was, we need to either buy a ladder truck or we need to give this money back to the tribe so that they can use it in the community for something else.
And in addition to that, the $20 that we get from the fire, from the citizens of the fire district, is earmarked money. It can't be used for operation of the fire department.
No, it's
so that money's been coming in for years for a fire truck.
Right. It's restricted money that goes into three separate accounts, one for equipment, one for building, and one for a ladder truck. Specifically, we cannot use it for anything else. We can't use it for overtime, salaries, anything. So what we did is we started looking around. We got with Pierce, which builds probably the best ladder truck you can buy. And we sat down with Pierce. We went through. We spec'd out a truck that we wanted that would fit for the community in Anderson. And
could be used as a regular fire engine as well as a ladder truck.
Exactly. It's called a Quint. It's actually a Quint. It's a fire engine. It's a ladder truck. It's got a 75-foot aerial device on top. It's got heavy equipment for rescue and things like that that truck companies are used for. So we made a deal with Pierce, who is owned by Oshkosh, which also does the financing. And so instead of paying outward for a new ladder truck, which is anywhere upwards of $1.5 million in today's market, we were able to get one for $775,000. And out of that $775,000, we were able to give them the $50,000 towards the down payment that the tribe had given us. And then we had another $200,000 in the ladder truck fund that had been there for years. And,
building from that $20.
Right, which they never would have bought a ladder truck in 100 years with that way that was working. So we were able to give them $100,000 out of that account, plus the $50,000 grant money from Wind River, and we did a 12-year lease purchase on that vehicle. And our payment is about $50,000 a year for 12.
Which comes in every month with the every year with the $20.
So, yeah, and I'll explain that. So our payment is $50,000 a year for around $50,000 for that truck. And in 12 years, we own it. It's ours. And that truck should have anywhere from a 20 to 25-year lifespan. So that we get about $83,000 a year that comes in from the parcel fees. And that's split up, again, three ways: ladder truck fund, equipment fund, and building fund. So the portion that goes into the ladder truck fund will actually more than make the payment on this ladder truck every year. So in 12 years, that truck's paid off, the taxpayers own it, and it has not impacted our budget in any way.
Yeah.
So it was the only way that we were able to do this, and we were able to capture and keep that grant money from the Wind River Tribe. So it was a win-win situation. But when you drive by the fire station and you see this $775,000 truck there, you're going, well, fire chief's saying we're broke, we have no money, we're going to be out of business in a year and a half, but they got this brand-new fire truck sitting there. Well, yeah, because I think that what we did and what the board directed me and allowed me to do, we were able to bring that ladder truck into the South County, which now will be not only a resource to Anderson, the municipality, the fire district, but also to our neighbors who give us back. I mean, I can't even explain how much we save by having a partnership with Cal Fire, especially during the wildland season.
So that, and that's not the first time or the last time. I mean, that's the first time you've heard the full explanation. Not going to be the last time, because we really need people to understand the wise business decision that was made there and the fact that it doesn't have one thing to do with the funding for the ongoing operation of the Anderson Fire Protection District. We're going to take a break right now, and we'll be right back.
Hi. I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Do you like to perform and show off your skills and vocals and sing your best? Then head down to Wind River Resort and Casino for karaoke rewards at Overtime Lounge. No cover charge. The action starts every Thursday at 9 p.m. with more ways to earn entries to win a package including a one-night hotel stay, dining certificate, free slot play, and cash. Drawing at the end of the month. Ask how to earn additional tickets. Karaoke rewards Thursdays at Wind River Resort and Casino. For rules and details, log on to windriver.com. Karaoke is better at the river.
Play bingo at Wind River Resort and Casino. Bingo. Don't miss our monthly $24,000 bingo blowout, rock and roll bingo, and paper-only sessions, where 12 regular games pay $400. $25 for two books. Additional books are only $5, plus 10 lucky winners will be selected to play the Mystery Treasure Chest game
for a mystery prize.
So grab your friends and play bingo at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Wind River.
For details, call 1-800-280-UWIN or log on to windriver.com.
Bingo calendar subject to
bingo is better at the river.
Wow, I love your new place. It's so stylish.
Okay, I'll let you in on a little secret. I get all my furniture at the Home Consignment Depot.
Really? This dining set? The entertainment center? The sofa?
Yeah, and all the accessories and art, too.
The Home Consignment Depot? Where are they located?
They're at 1313 Hartnell Avenue, between Churn Creek and Victor. You know, next to Signorama. They've got quality furniture for the home and office at prices you can afford. It's definitely the spot to shop for furniture, with new arrivals daily, and they offer an excellent consignment service.
Consignment? How does it work?
It's easy. They sell your quality furniture and send you a check. I receive more for mine than if I sold it myself, without the hassles and costs of running an ad.
They sell your quality furniture and accessories and send you the check?
Right. They also offer a pickup and delivery service. They accept all forms of payment, and they're open 7 days a week.
That's good to know.
If I were you, I'd visit their showroom today or call 722-0635, the Home Consignment Depot. It's definitely the spot to shop.
Welcome back to KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio. This is Trish Clark. It is Friday. We're visiting this morning with the Anderson Fire Protection District Chief, Rick Weigel. And we're going to go first to the phones. Jim, you got a question?
Yes, I do. Hey, Chief, on that money that they got from the Wind River,
How long did it sit in the county coffers up here before they decided to do something with it?
Well, it sat in a restricted fund in the fire district account for about 7 years.
Well, that should have grown huge on interest only.
Well, I wish. I don't really understand how the whole process works up there, but we had $50,000 grant from them. That's all we had in that account.
Well, I know that Lori Scott takes and invests that money, and it comes in and makes money.
Well, it was in a restricted account, and maybe that I'm pretty sure that that's not part of the money that's invested for growth.
Yeah, but I was wondering if she could have invested that money on the restricted account and had that funds come back into the restricted account and make it grow and make it be worth way more when they decide to use it.
Well, that perhaps could have happened, but it didn't.
Okay. I was wondering if they did happen. So.
No, it did not. Unfortunately, that would have been something that, and I'm not exactly sure how that works, but I know that in a restricted account, I think there would have to be another procedure that they'd go through to do that.
Hey, one of these days, Trish, you'll have to get Lori Scott on and have...
That'd be a good idea. Yeah, maybe see if they're... I'm sure there's all kinds of restricted funds sitting in the counter coffers that could be earning interest, maybe.
Well, especially on with you, because you know how to question them.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Jim, for that call. Thanks. Yeah, that would have been a good idea. As long as it sat there, it could have been earning some kind of interest, although at the market rate today, that it's paying 0.0, but for a while there, it was paying good interest.
Or we might have lost money.
Yeah, that's true. And that's part of the
good
issue.
Good question, though.
Yeah, you know, that is part of the issue, that when you invest money, then you do stand a chance of losing it, too. But so anyway, we talked about, let's continue on that vein about the fact that, so at some point, we've got to figure out a way that we can, and there are options that we can bolster the money into the city or the county, the district budget.
Well, you know, there's several things that we're working on right now, and you know, a couple of them are a benefit assessment, which would actually look at certain areas of the fire district of the city, and say, look, you've got a Walmart or you've got a grocery store over here. Your parcel fee is $220 now. Now, I'm making this up as I go.
Numbers don't mean anything.
Right.
We're not suggesting we haven't done the surveys or the studies.
It's just an example.
Just an example. We're just using play like numbers.
And we may look at the homeowner that has an 800-square-foot home and say, your parcel fee is $20. Or maybe it's $25.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got a commercial building or you've got this or you've got that, it needs to be broken down into zones. And basically, the users of the system need to be paying. We have some streets.
If you have an apartment complex that's filled with people who get the fire department service two or three times a day.
There you go.
And you got 800 or 300 units in there. You need to be paying more than $20.
Let's just take a step back here, Trish. It even goes further than that. There has to be an educational process for the community, not only for the North State, but for, I'm just going to speak to the Anderson Fire District community and the city of Anderson. We have many abusers of the 911 system. And so we have a couple of things that they do. Number one, they call the fire station direct, which we're going to remove that phone number because we want to discourage them. We want you to call 911 if it's a true emergency. What we don't want you to do is to call 911 because your GPS isn't working or because your hearing aid is stuck in your ear. You know, if it's a serious issue, yes, we'll come out. But the idea is we're a small little department. We have one station, one fire truck that's manned 24/7, 365, and we run 2,500 plus calls a year. That's a lot of calls for one station. In the real world, that's the point that you start looking at putting in a second unit or building another station to relieve that call volume. So a lot of the situations that we go to, and the other issue is, as I back up here, is we have multiple calls on a daily basis, which means we have a 911 call for somebody who's fallen, okay? That's a call. We're going to go to. We're going to pick you up. We're going to assess you. We're going to make sure you're not hurt. Even if you can't get out of your wheelchair, you can't get out of your recliner, those are public assist calls. We're going to go and we're going to service our community, our customers, our external customers. But then what happens is generally we're going to a call and then 30 seconds later we have another call. And so that other call will bring out one of our automatic aid or mutual aid partners, which means engine 43 or engine 47 from the airport has to come into Anderson to cover that call, or engine 23 from Cottonwood has to come in. So now what that does is that strips that Cottonwood engine out of its response area in the community of Cottonwood, or takes that airport engine out of the Cal Fire Station and brings them in. So now the county area is left open, and vice versa. We help each other. But the idea is we have as many as two and three back-to-back calls within a couple minutes.
Oh, I know. Every time I'm down at the station, it goes off like your phone rings at home.
And sometimes these captains, and they've been told they have the authority to do this. They may have to divert if you can't get out of your wheelchair, and then we get somebody that's not breathing, or we get a child that's drowning, or we get an active fire,
yeah.
Then that engine will divert, and you'll get an engine from another community come
and
in.
Or the ambulance.
Right. So it's, you know, we're trying to shuffle here in a community that is very active. We have some streets. I get the printouts from the Cal Fire Dispatch, and I have some streets that almost every home on that street has been visited by 911 crews, by fire and ambulance. And it's just, again, they're, you know, users of the system that they call. They want the ambulance, and that's going to get them a better seat in the ER, and it's not true. So we need to educate the community on what you should and should not call 911 for. And we want to discourage people from calling the fire station direct, because what that does, it actually delays us getting there. Because that captain has to make a decision now, and he has to call the dispatch center. So he's not getting on that vehicle and leaving to the call. He's got to make the 911 call, basically, to the dispatch center and say, hey, we've got a notice of this and this and this. So when you call the fire station direct, you're actually delaying our response.
Well, and that's part of that close community, good old boy system that worked when you just had a little bitty community. It just isn't going to work anymore, and we need to discourage people from making that call directly. Close down the system, doesn't let the system work. You're supposed to call 911 when it is a true emergency.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's been this way for a long time, and I think that we're looking at an educational process for the community to say, look, we're there. You are our customer. We will service you. We will help you. We will do whatever we can do to help you. But we also want the citizens to remember that if you call us and it's not a true emergency, there may be a true emergency down the road, and we may be delayed getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Because the next closest engine could be the airport or downtown Cottonwood. So it just, you know, it's a matter of the community being responsible to say, you know, is this a true emergency, or can I handle this? Can I go to the, you know, we have a lot of calls of, you know, people have a fever, or people are vomiting, or these are not true emergencies most of the time. These are things that could be treated in the urgent care.
I think a lot of times people are surprised how many calls that the a typical fire department in the North State makes that have nothing to do with fire. When we think fire engines, we think they're responding. You see a fire engine, people think they're responding to a fire, and you always look to the sky for the smoke. How many of percentage of our calls are fire calls?
When you look at national statistics, it's about 2%, 2 to 3%. Across the board, and really, the medical is anywhere from 70 to 80%.
Yeah.
So.
And people, I tell people that, and they go, "Oh, that can't be accurate. That can't be true." It absolutely is true.
It is true. So.
78%, 70 to 80% of the calls that you make are not fire related.
Right. Well, even more than that. So
yeah.
I'm going to say that actual fire calls statistically are somewhere around 2 to 3%.
Yeah.
You know, and so
I know. Just since I've been on the fire protection district board, I've been lucky enough to accompany you on a couple of gas leaks, drownings,
water rescues. Now, if you go to the city of Detroit, they're gonna debate that with you.
Well, I would imagine
you have a much different. But nationally, on the whole, the fire service response is mostly for medical, and any fire department that tells you that, you know, they don't do medical, well, that fire chief needs to look for another job, because that's dinosaur thinking. We need to look and embrace how we can affect the community in partnerships, and how we're going to address some of the things that we're doing out there. And you know, as far as there are some communities that are actually putting physician's assistants with paramedics on fire department rigs, and they're actually making home visits. They're actually going out, they're suturing, they're prescribing medications, they're doing all these things in-house by partnering with the insurance companies and with hospitals to keep people out of the ER, to keep a cap on medical expenses.
Well, and that's certainly, I know a lot of districts where a paramedic is on every fire department as it leaves, as a paramedic unit that goes with roles, you know, with it in some of your bigger departments.
And that's where we should be.
Exactly. And that, in a perfect world, that's where you'd be.
Right.
With the present funding of the Anderson Fire Protection District, that ain't going to happen anytime soon. But we'll talk about that more in a little bit. But Cypress Square Barbershop brings us this portion of the show. As Carl can tell you, a man's last stronghold. That's where you go and you get your hair cut, and they don't have any Oprah magazines laying around. And I don't know that personally, because I don't get my hair cut there. But I've walked by, and everybody in there, it looks like the Cheers of barbershops to me. It's at 2463 Athens Avenue in Reading. Give them a call at 244-9478, Cypress Square Barbershop, and we'll be right back.
As I watch the politics on TV, I am reminded of my college political science instructor, Don Speck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. He said that no matter what a politician said to get in office, once there, self-preservation became the most important thing. In other words, keeping the job became more important than doing the job. Benefit to the country became secondary. He was a little cynical because he had worked in politics for many years. Politics in Washington was never meant to be a lifetime occupation. Citizens were expected to serve a term or two and then return to private life. Politicians were never meant to become wealthy in office. Yet we see reports of individuals amassing millions of dollars while in office. It's time to vote for America's interests first. Become an informed voter. To do less is a disservice to your country. Coachmaster Collision Repair, Redding, California.
The degree to which we enjoy good health, vitality, and freedom from pain and suffering is directly related to the level of responsibility we're willing to assume for our bodies and our lives. Hi, I'm Nancy Sutton Pierce, host of the Conscious Living Show every Saturday, KCNR1460.com. My show is about helping you uncover your authentic self, discussing health, laughter, love, truth, sex, and so much more. We awaken to who we really are and why we're here, then life improves. Bon Jovi says, I'm going to live while I'm alive. Are you? Tune in every Saturday, 11 to noon, KCNR 1460, streaming live, KCNR1460.com. My website, ConsciousLivingYoga.com, will give you more information. The Conscious Living Show is proudly sponsored by Orchard Nutrition Center, Gorilla Bites, and Fields Jewelers.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Redding Yellow Cab. At Redding Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Redding Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Redding Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with me, John Whitmarsh from Access Mortgage. We know how to say approved. I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience. So call me today at 945-9660. Let's get you into your dream home.
Access Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 1096314.
Just a small town girl. Welcome back to the final portion of this Free Fire Radio morning. This is Trish Clark. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North Strait. If you've got a question for the fire chief, give us a call at 605-4567 or jump into the chat room at kcnr1460.com. We're streaming live. These shows are always also available. You can go in and listen to them at any time, Monday through Friday. They record these shows, and if there's a topic that you've missed or would like more information about, you can go in and listen after the fact. This portion of the show is brought to us by Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. It's your place for the great coffee and more at Espresso Joe's. And every other coffee in the world you can imagine, walk next door to the finest walk-in humidor in California, proudly serving the finest in your tobacco needs. Tobacco and Brew, where veterans always get discounts. Stop in and see them at 2143 Hilltop Drive. So this is the final portion of our show this morning. We've been talking with our fire chief from the city of Anderson, Anderson Fire Protection District, Rick Weigel.
Excuse me. Thank you.
Okay. So we've been trying to, you know, and we don't mean to lay out a depressing picture or start threatening people with a tax increase. But there has to be an understanding that the people using the service, and we need to figure out a fair way to fund a department so that we all have the fire protection that we need. We expect that when we call in an emergency, we get a response. That's not something that's free, and you're not already paying taxes to get it. So that's the point.
Well, again, we're doing everything that we can. When I came into this department, and it's not an indictment on anybody, but you know, they were $400,000 in the hole, and they had been in the hole for a couple of years, and so they were moving money out of the reserves to make their payroll at the end of the year, and so that's quite a challenge. I'm not really sure how we're going to overcome it, but the reality is that the reserves don't last forever. And so we're at a critical point. We need to change our revenue structure somehow that we've got the ability to pay our bills without dipping into our reserves. And so, you know, the pay scale is very low. We have two people on an engine company. I mean, we operate below the national standards, way below. And, the community that I come from, two people on a fire truck, and that truck's out of service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's staffed with four people, two paramedics, two EMTs. And if there's two people on the rig after an incident or a call, that truck's out of service. It goes back to the station, and automatic aid companies around the next company takes it. So it's a little bit of a culture shock for me up here in the North State, trying to assimilate into the culture. But there are things that we do need to change.
And we've done some things to solve part of that. Let's talk just a little bit about the people that we've been using on the reserve program.
We do have several reserves. When I first got here, we had some volunteers, not many, but the ones that we had could not pass a physical or a background check, and there was only two of them, and that could, and so. We had to release them, and so we basically, the volunteer program went away, and then one of the volunteers that we had actually committed a crime, so we had to let him go, and so we ended up with basically one volunteer, and to supplement our folks, so we developed a reserve program, and we brought in experienced people from the outside. Most of them were Cal Fire, about maybe 14, 15 Cal Fire, but the problem with that is during the fire season, those reserves go away because
they go back to work for Cal Fire.
They go back to work for Cal Fire. So,
but in the other parts of the year, that's been very helpful to us because that gives them the ability to continue to work in their off time. It gives us very inexpensive qualified personnel.
Right. And we're able to supplement that. Now, what we need to do is come up with some way to supplement that during the fire season. So we do bring on seasonals. We bring on three seasonals, one for each shift. So that gives us three people on an engine company. The seasonals are there for 12 hours a day. But, again, that, you know, that costs money to do that. And we're looking – I mean, we're at bare bones in our budget trying to cut everything.
And the public needs to understand, you know, specifically this population here, because the county has operated for many years on a volunteer fire department system. Over the years, even prior to the time that I got off the Board of Supervisors, it had started to be way different to have volunteers. In the good old days, you just had volunteers. They showed up and fought a fire. Now there are so many qualifications and expectations that these volunteers have to go through to be trained, and equipment and certificates, all those things, and the insurance to cover them, all of those things, even in the unincorporated area, volunteers are a thing that are really, really difficult, because you just can't have somebody walking off the street and volunteer. And a lot of people don't understand that. Well, why don't you do it with volunteers? We've always done it that way. Can't do that anymore because of the qualifications that are required.
Right. And there are some mandated training. There are mandated things that they have to have. And it becomes expensive also for that, the equipment. And so it's
and
it takes
people
us,
just don't have the time to put in to volunteer and do all the training and other requirements.
Right. And, you know, it just – you're looking at you know, I'm nothing against volunteers. I mean, that's the backbone of America. But, you know, in a community that's as busy as we are, relying on volunteers that have jobs and takes a year or so to get them trained up to the point that they can even get on the truck and respond. I mean, it's a catch-22 for us.
The requirements to even just for your regular fire department, the ongoing training requirements and upgrade requirements and things that they have to be doing on a regular basis to keep fit and qualified to serve. We always think that, well, we'll just have the volunteers, but it just doesn't. The volunteers can do a good job of helping you with community orientation or things around the station, but they can't really be active firefighters without a huge commitment of time and energy.
Right, and there's a lot of standards that we have to work with, and some of them are recommendations, NFPA recommendations, and some of them are law. You know, OSHA is a federal law, the OSHA 2-in, 2-out. If we get to the scene of your house and there's two people on the fire truck and you have a working fire on the inside of your house, we can't go in.
Until if somebody else arrives.
Until we have two more people there.
Yeah.
Until the engine from the airport gets there, if that's not busy, or the engine from Cottonwood. And if they come with one person instead of two, we still can't go into your house. We can't go in until there's two in.
And that's a law. And I think that...
that's a federal law.
And that's exactly right. There's a whole instructional thing that needs to go on with the people to understand the requirements that we operate under.
You know, and the only way that we can violate that law is if it's a known rescue. So if we pull up at 2 o'clock in the morning and there's cars in your driveway, that doesn't tell us that there's somebody in that house. Now, if we have somebody sticking their head out the second floor window, then we can violate that law because that's a known rescue. We know
gotcha.
We have somebody there. But again, it's we put our people in danger by trying to put two people in there. I mean, there's a whole gamut of things that have to be done. In order to do this, and so it's just not putting you know, water on the fire.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, having said that, I know that in the city of Anderson, you know, we've talked this whole hour about some of the difficulties with fire protection and the ability to do it. We're getting good response times. I think that there's no question that the Anderson Fire Protection District is giving better service today than it was 2 years ago. The response times, I know personally, are down from a staggering number to a good response time where those engines are rolling with qualified people on board. And
right.
Our equipment has been updated. And it is now meeting all the standards and getting regular maintenance. And we've come a long way in the last year and a half.
You know, let me tell you something.
And I want to congratulate Chief Weigel for that, because he really has been the driving force behind getting the personnel at the Anderson Fire Protection District. We needed some good leadership, and we've got it now.
Well, our response times out of the station, the turnout time we call it, is 30 seconds for a medical. That means if we have a medical call, they need to be on that fire truck pulling out of that door within 30 seconds. If it's a fire call, 60 seconds. So that's a minute to get their equipment on, get in that truck, and pull out. I just want to, as we end the show, I just want to say that we have limited resources here. We have limited funding. We have old equipment. We have a lot of things against us. But what we have good is that we have people that are committed to this community, and they work hard.
Yeah.
And they work their tails off. I mean, these guys out there, it's amazing. I mean, two of them on a truck can accomplish a lot. And so the community does have a group of dedicated people there
that are willing to work with the community to make sure that the fire protection in the city of Anderson and the surrounding area continues at a good level and goes into the future. We just kind of wanted to talk a little bit about that today and open up the conversation and know that we're going to be getting with the community to make sure this continues on. This has been Community Radio for the North State, Free Fire Radio. We thank you for joining us. I specifically thank you for putting up with me for 2 days. Love doing the show. Carl and Linda, have a great time, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Gonna stand my
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Wall Street is rallying. The stock market surge, fueled by the latest employment report, a healthy gain of 255,000 jobs last month. And that's not all. Economist Diane Swonk says wages continue to rise. Average hourly pay now 2.6% higher than a year ago.
That's, again, welcome news in an economy that finally looks like it's delivering something, although not all that we'd want, in wage gains.
The unemployment rate stands at 4.9%. Monday's the day. Detroit's the place. Donald Trump planning to unveil his blueprint for creating jobs. Trump's running mate Mike Pence says he agrees with Trump. The GOP, he says, has never been more united than it is with the Trump-Pence ticket.
Donald Trump and I are standing shoulder to shoulder to say to the American people that we can be strong again. We can be strong on the world stage again. We can stand with our allies and stand up to those. That